Welcome back to Divide It with Jill. If you're new here, I talk about all things pop culture, TV shows, movie, music, books. Everything here is spoilers. If you are a recurring listener, welcome back. Last episode, I talked about Through My Window on Netflix, so if you haven't listened to it, definitely check it out. But today, babe, I want to talk about Paul Mescal and the emotional roller coaster he has put me through with every single project he has been in. Like, stop making me cry, Paul. We can't keep doing this, babe. When your car declines at therapy. You know what? We're going to send the bill to Paul. Send him the invoice right now. I don't know what rock I have been living under that I didn't know who Paul was. Actually, you know what? To be honest, I've heard the name, but I kept getting him confused with Pedro Pascal. Okay, not this. I don't know why, but then I started thinking about Jeremy Allen White. I don't know. Don't judge me. I actually have yet to watch any show and movies with Pedro and Jeremy in it. So please let me know what I should watch. Like, what is the first show or movie I should see either of them in? But you know what? The most important thing is that I know Paul now. The first show I saw Paul in is Normal People. Oh my gosh. So how this came about was I posted a bunch of TikToks about One Day on Netflix, and quite a few people commented to watch Normal People. And I didn't even read the description or summary of like what this was. I kind of just like went on Hulu, started watching it. And I remember my sister also told me that she wanted me to watch this. And I was like, all right, let's see what this is about. This television show basically explores the complex and evolving relationship between two Irish teenagers, Marianne and Connell. They kind of navigate the challenges of love, social class, personal identity. And let me tell you something, I am blown away by this show. Probably top 10, like, favorite shows. Ah! That's like really, that's a really bold statement coming out of me. I will say this is my favorite right now, and probably one of the best on-screen chemistry I've seen between two leads. Daisy Edgar Jones and Paul Mescal, I am convinced they are in love in real life. Like, what do you mean they're not in love? I also heard that Paul gave Daisy Connell's chain as a wrap gift. What? I am actually so unwell. Like, let me be feral for 1 second. Paul in that chain. Wow. Wow, wow. And the Emmy goes to Connell's chain. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I noticed, you know, when I was watching the show that they would always show his chain. And wow, he is rocking that chain indeed. And, you know, Marianne touching the chain. Like, there was a lot of close-ups of the chain. And I guess I'm not the only one that's going feral for this, because there's an Instagram account. I just found this out. It's called Connell's Chain. Please, let me tell you some of the captions on these posts. Like, one of them is like, Alexa, play Chains by Nick Jonas. Literally, release me from these shackles. And then there was another caption. It was like, drip, drip, drip. And all of these photos are like kind of scandalous. It's giving a little R-rated. You know what I mean? There was another one that was like, Alexa, play Wet, Wet, Wet. Like, what? And then listen to this one. This one is, my neck, my back, my chain is on your crack. What? Who came up with that? Who is running this account is the real question. Reveal yourself. You know what? Everyone is down bad for Connell's chain. And it is what it is, you know? So basically this necklace in Normal People was kind of intended to signify Connell's working class background. And in the novel, Marianne's best friend says Argo chic in reference to a retailer that's described as the UK's equivalent of Target or Walmart. And it's basically Connell's like through and through, like the entire show you see him wearing this chain. Connell's a character that is very shy and reserved and barely gives his opinions on things. And he's kind of afraid what others think of him. He was a popular guy in school. He had quite a few friends, but, you know, his friends were the worst, to be honest. Like, they were bullies. They were rude to Marianne. The only nice one was Karen. And, like, she stood up for her in episode 3. Since Connell was a character that cared so much about his friends, he cared so much about what his friends thought of him, he started to get anxiety over his relationship with Marianne. And so there was this part in the show where he asked this girl, Rachel, to the end of the year dance instead of Marianne. And that kind of, like, temporarily ended Connell and Marianne's relationship. You know, like, the entire time they're hiding their relationship, and this was kind of like the nail in the coffin type of thing. Marianne kind of, like, stops going to school, stops talking to him, and Connell's mom, actually, I love her, she was basically telling Connell, like, when all this went down, like, you're being crazy, essentially, and she was defending Marianne and giving just, like, really great advice. And I just really loved the mom's character. And she really did care for Connell and Marianne. It was really funny because there was this part where Connell was like, why can't you take my side for once? And she was like, no. And you know what? He kind of was in the wrong in that moment. But yeah. And so he goes to college and he basically kind of feels out of place. He's worrying about money, but eventually, like, him and Marianne reunite in college. They both go to Trinity. Marianne introduces him to her friends. And oh my gosh, there was this part where she tells him, like, it's different for you. They're, like, my friends. And he said the same thing to her, like, a few episodes back before. And I just thought that was, like, an iconic thing to just throw back, you know? And so they start to have a relationship again. They become kind of close, like, it's friendly. And you know, Marianne also changed when she went to college. Like, in high school, she was very insecure, very unfiltered. I feel like she's still kind of unfiltered now. Her family was not the best, especially the brother. He abuses her. And then in episode 11, I love when Connell, like, defended her and was like, I will kill you if you hurt Marianne, like, to the brother. I was like, he deserved that 100%. And then Connell saying, like, after to Marianne, because her nose was, like, all messed up, there's blood everywhere, he was like, I love you, like, nothing like that will ever happen to you again. And I was like, stop. And then, like, her dad was also abusive, but he passed away. But they don't, like, show the dad in the show. They just kind of talk about him and, like, how awful he was. And she goes to college and she kind of, like, blossomed. She definitely became more confident, but she still believes that she doesn't deserve love. And she did get into some relationships that were not the best, very unhealthy. I think Jamie was the worst. Like, that relationship, like, really broke my heart. And you know what? Speaking of scenes that have broken my heart, okay, Connell's phone call at the end of episode 3 killed me. Oh my gosh. This was, like, right after he asked Rachel to go to the dance. And you could see, like, throughout the night at the dance, like, he was kind of regretting it. You know what I mean? So he leaves Marianne a voicemail after, and he was like, I miss you, and I can't talk the way I talk to you to anyone else. And he starts crying, and I was like, oh my god. It was kind of giving, like, Dexter when he called Emma in One Day. I think a few people were comparing the two, like, on TikTok, but obviously they're two completely different shows, but I feel like it was kind of, like, the same vibe, if that makes sense. Oh my gosh, that literally killed me. I can't. Another heartbreaking moment. Marianne was in Sweden. She was on the phone. She was, like, laying down on the bed, and you could tell, like, she was just so unhappy and just in a bad relationship with this guy. It wasn't Jamie, it was another guy. And just, like, honestly, that entire episode, you can sense how unhappy she was. And then episode 10. Oh my gosh, that was very, very sad. Connell is depressed. Rob, one of his friends from high school, passed away. Listen, Rob's character and the other friends were not the best. But then it really got me thinking, like, as an audience member, like, you don't know what that character was dealing with, why he acted the way he did in high school, you know? And the entire therapy scene was so, so sad. Like, the entire monologue at the end of the episode really got me. I was crying. Just hearing about his relationship with Rob, how Rob was as a person, the difference between, like, what high school was and how his life is now. And the scene was just so sad. I was crying. Like, it was very, very heartbreaking. Like, very, very heavy. And there was this cute moment in the episode, though, where Marianne and Connell, they're Skyping, and she kind of let him leave the computer on the entire night while he, like, goes to bed, and, like, he wakes up and she's still there. And I just thought it was a really, really sweet, cute moment. Just, like, a moment where she was, like, there for him during this, like, really difficult time for him, you know? And so I just thought that was a sweet moment. Oh, gosh. The ending of the show. Specifically the ending scene. Another heartbreaking scene. Can't catch a break. Really, honestly, can't. Connell was basically given this opportunity to spend time writing in New York, and Marianne basically encourages him to go, and she wants to say where she is, and he's like, I'll miss you too much, I'll be sick. Oh my gosh. Just the way Paul Mescal delivered that line, I had chills all over my body. And she's like, it'll get better with time or something like that. And he's like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And she's like, yes, that's true. You'd be somewhere else entirely. You'd be a different person. And me too. Oh my gosh, that whole part. She's like, but we've done so much good for one another. And he's like, you know, I love you. Oh, stop. I might actually start having a mental breakdown right now. He's like, I'll never feel this way about anyone else. And that is when I had to pause the show, take about 10 minutes to recoup and come back. Like, I couldn't. And then the moment kind of, like, ends with him going, like, goodbye, I'll go. And she's like, I'll stay. Oh my, that whole thing felt so real. I can't explain it. Like, the way that affected me. What a stunning performance by both Paul and Daisy. Like, these characters just felt so real and raw. And again, this is like my 50th time saying this, but their chemistry is so good. I really don't have any notes. I don't. Absolutely nothing. Like 10 out of 10. And you know what? My divided moment from Normal People is, oh gosh, when they say this line to each other, where they're like, it's not like this with other people. Oh my gosh. It hits. I don't know. It's doing it. That just affected me so heavily. Oh my gosh. Crying. Literally crying, actually. So, okay, if you're new and you don't know what a divided moment is, it's basically any moment that shocks me, affects me very heavily, confuses me. You know, this is kind of like a term my friend and I made up one day together when something crazy happened. And we just started saying divided because we were truly just so stunned at the situation and left speechless, couldn't really figure out what was happening. So we resorted to saying divided because it was basically an unsolvable thing. But yes, that's what a divided moment is. Okay, moving on to the next Paul project. Here we go. Oh gosh, All of Us Strangers. No, because that movie destroyed me. Destroyed me, okay? After watching Normal People, I became a fan. And so I was like, okay, I need to see what else he's in. Come across All of Us Strangers. And I'm like, okay, let me check this out. I watch it. And I'm like, are you serious? Paul, babe, another sad one. I can't keep doing this with you, babe. No, because I sobbed multiple times watching this. Multiple. Also, shout out to Andrew Scott on delivering an incredible performance. This is my first time seeing Andrew Scott in a film, and honestly, I'm a fan. Some people said to go watch Fleabag, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to see what that is. Let me know if you saw it. But All of Us Strangers, it's basically a movie about this screenwriter, Adam. He meets this guy, Harry, who's his neighbor, and a relationship kind of develops between them. And while that's happening, we get to see Adam going back to his childhood home, where his parents appear to be living just as they were on the day they died 30 years ago. Gasp! No, because this entire film is a divided moment in itself. And I have a lot of theories on what this movie possibly could be and just like what I think of it, you know, and like the plot. So my first theory is that everyone is dead and this is a purgatory. Adam's a ghost and he's in limbo. Okay, is that like a crazy theory? Like, I don't know. So basically, I think like he's trying to get closure by having these conversations and experiences with Harry, his parents. But you know what? The only part where I was like, okay, maybe this theory might be off and then he's like alive and then maybe he's like just seeing ghosts. I don't know. Was at the diner at the end. Oh, don't get me started with that scene. I lost it. sobbing snot everywhere. Adam tells his dad, he's like, stay longer. Oh my gosh. And then the dad's like, he loves him so much and somehow more that I get to know you more. And then the mom was like, you should be with Harry. Oh my gosh. I could not stop crying. Like, it was so bad. Like, so heartbreaking. Yeah, so then for a second I thought, oh, maybe he's alive. But then I had another theory. And I was thinking, oh, maybe that was just kind of like a transition into basically saying like, oh, the parents moved on. And now it's like his turn to move on and have that final conversation. And so when we see the waitress come back into the scene, it's like a moment where the parents finally were free. And now it's his turn to have closure. Does that make sense? I don't know. I hope that's making sense. But then my other theory was that, like, when I was watching this, I was like, oh, maybe Adam's, like, writing about his parents and, like, what he would say and the kind of conversations he would have if they were still alive or whatever. Like, it felt like this was, like, for his script and that his relationship with Harry was real. And then at the end, I was like, oh, Harry's been dead the entire time. Like, what? What's happening? And then it hit me. I was like, oh, my gosh. Harry was wearing the same outfit in the beginning as he is right now. And so, of course he's been dead the whole time. Like, what? And so then that got me thinking, oh, maybe Harry and Adam met, like, that night. Like, which was, like, that beginning. Oh, by the way, their chemistry in the beginning sequence when they were, like, touching hands. Oh! I was like, that's crazy that I could feel chemistry between a handshake. And so I was thinking, oh, they probably had a connection. And then Harry died. And this is what, like, Adam is picturing what would happen with him. I don't know. And then another theory I have is that maybe Adam's like dying, and because they do mention multiple times something about his temperature, and so maybe he's like imagining and experiencing this before like death, and then like the end, it fades out and it feels like it's like a closure for him type of thing, and that these are people that he's like was like in his life or something. I don't know. I guess it's kind of like the movie's up to your interpretation type of thing. I saw online that Andrew, who's the director of the film, expressed that he doesn't care for the logic behind the ending of All of Us Strangers. And what's real or what's not, it's about the emotional feeling that you get from it. Oh, Mr. Andrew. Mr. Andrew, hey, I felt the feeling, babe. I was distraught. And then by the end of the film, it's basically saying that what is important in life is love, and whatever way you manage to find it, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's with your parents, whether it's with a friend, you go through life finding love, losing love, and finding it again. Wow, what a beautiful thing to say. Oh, yeah. So I'm just assuming like this is kind of like an up to your interpretation. Yeah, I don't know. This really got me spiraling. I have so many theories of what could have happened, like what actually is happening, you know? But I guess Andrew said whatever you want it to be, I guess. My divided moment of this film was the entire thing. But I will say I sobbed so hard watching the diner scene. So maybe that will have to be the divided moment. Close second was finding out that Harry was dead. What in the supernatural ghost town is going on here? Let me know what you think. I am still recovering from this movie. The tears really just kept on going and going and going and going. This is the last movie I want to talk about with Paul Mescal in it, and spoiler alert, it's another sad film. Oh my gosh. You know, I looked this up like after I watched it because I wanted to like watch a couple interviews, and this was nominated for an Oscar. Well deserved, babe. The way he interpreted this character, and even the little girl, oh my god, Frankie, she's so talented. So after Sun, 20 years after their last holiday at a fading vacation resort, Sophie reflects on the rare time she spent with her loving father, Callum. So she's 11 years old, and as the world of adolescence creeps into Sophie's view, Callum struggles under the weight of life outside of fatherhood. Sophie's recollections become a powerful and heart-rending portrait of the relationship as she tries to reconcile the father she knew with the man she didn't. Wow, intense. Thank you to Google for that description. So you know what? This movie kind of hit me very unexpectedly. Like right at the end, I was sobbing, couldn't move for like 30 minutes. Like right when I saw him holding that camcorder, the tears just went. I feel like when they showed the scene with the strobe lights and the flashing images of him and like the daughter, that was kind of a representation of like what's happening in his mind and like just the chaos that's going on. And so when they showed that ending scene with the camcorder and he kind of like walks through the door and the flashing lights are going, that was kind of him surrendering to the darkness. And oh my gosh, I was sobbing. I had like a mental breakdown. I was like, this is too much. Oh my gosh, just like even thinking about it right now, it's just so heartbreaking. But the film does such a great job of balancing the lightheartedness of Vacation while also showing us what Callum's going through, if that makes sense. And just, oh my god, the film was just so beautifully done. I would say for the majority of the film, I was watching this movie like, oh, this is just a dad with his daughter on vacation. They're having a good time. I really thought it was so cute that they were filming it. And I really felt the lightheartedness in their moments together. But then they would have these scenes with Callum where it's hinting at his depression and just kind of like what is going on in his mind. Like, for example, he was standing outside on the rail of the balcony and it felt like a moment where he was indulging in the darkest parts of his mind. Oh my gosh. And then he also made a comment about how he's surprised he made it to 30 or something. And then there was another scene where he was crying in the room. Oh gosh, that was a tough watch. And then when he went into the ocean, when Sophie was like out, it felt so dark. You know, I feel like Sophie as a kid was pretty like well aware of like what was happening, even at 11 years old. Like in terms of her dad's like finances, she mentioned something to him saying like, you don't have to like lie about money. But she still kind of maintained that innocence and that joy about her just like being a kid. And then towards the end, watching Sophie as an adult, trying to recall those memories and watching back the footage of this vacation. Maybe it was like a moment where she was like trying to figure out why he took his own life. Do you know what I mean? Literally killed me. It was so sad. It was just such a well done film. Unbelievable. Paul, gonna need you to do a comedy next. That'd be great. Thank you. But yes, okay, before we end the podcast episode, my final divided moment after Sin Edition is when Callum went back to buy the rug on vacation, even though he couldn't afford it. Oh my gosh, that was such a special moment. Just showing how much he loved Sophie. I don't know, just really affected me, that whole scene. I don't know, then him like laying on the rug. Ugh. Although Callum was going through a lot internally, you could still see throughout the movie that he wanted Sophie to be happy. Just wanted her to have like a great vacation. I think that's just why it all like hit me at the end, because I started like analyzing everything that happened and the tears just like flooded down. Like, oh my gosh. But yes, let me know which Paul Mescal movie made you cry the most. Which one's your favorite? If there's another Paul movie or show that you want me to watch, like let me know. But that is it. That is the end of the podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow Divide It With Jill on TikTok and Instagram. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye!